Scripture reading for tonight is Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and we will read the whole psalm. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So far do we read the holy and inspired word of God. The text is verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We all face death. Many of us have faced death numerous times. Loved ones have died. Maybe it's a grandpa or a grandma, a sibling, several siblings, maybe even children. There are probably many here who have had miscarriage or miscarriages. Some also here tonight maybe face sickness, or they have a loved one who is very sick. And when that happens, you think about death, and you think about what happens at death. And death, facing that is difficult. It means the end of an earthly relationship. Facing death is difficult because we do not know what it really feels like for the person that we love who is dying. And if it's we ourselves who are getting close to death, we don't know what that feels like. It makes it hard. Psalm 116 serves to comfort us believers as we face death. Psalm 116 is a psalm that has served to comfort believers throughout history. One ancient church order called for the singing of this psalm at the death of every believer. And one old faithful bishop in Antioch around 250 AD, he is said to have had the words of verse 15 on his lips as he was killed for his faith. This psalm has been read at the bedside of dying believers and served to comfort aged women, men, dying children. And wonderfully, this psalm also serves to comfort us, and serves to comfort us even tonight as we think upon death. Think of that the Holy Spirit inspired this psalm to be written 3,000 years ago. And part of the purpose was that we believers might be comforted during our lives by this psalm. That's the amazing grace of God. And then think about your loved ones who have died in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit inspired this psalm to be written so long ago, and part of the reason was so that they too, during their lives, might have been comforted by this psalm and by verse 15. So that when they sang it and when they prayed it, when they meditated upon it, they had peace. That's the grace, the marvelous grace of God. What a God He is. Psalm 116 verse 15 says that the death of saints is precious. And what that means is that the death of saints is valuable. And when you first hear that and you really think upon death, you might think, what? How is death valuable? Why does the psalm say that? Well, the death of saints is precious in God's eyes. That's what the Word of God says. And since the death of saints is precious, valuable in God's eyes, it is to be precious and valuable in our eyes too. We will see that, and we'll come to understand that more by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word tonight. What is, though, exactly happening in Psalm 116? There's this verse about death, about two-thirds through the psalm, but what's happening here? Many believe that the writer of this psalm is David. David wrote many of the psalms, and if you read the whole psalm, it does seem to fit with David's life. For instance, the psalm speaks about death, physical death, and being delivered from that physical death. And then you think about how David had Saul and Absalom chasing after him, trying to kill him, and that God many times delivered David from their hands. In verse 11, David speaks about liars. And we know that he faced liars in his life. Absalom, his son, was a liar as he tried to take the throne away from David. And many of David's former friends became liars as they went over to Absalom's side. In this psalm, David speaks of having been attacked by enemies and brought very close to death. So in verse 3, he says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell," and that could be translated the grave there, "the pains of the grave got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." David was being attacked. David was near death, and he was in a dark place. He was miserable. It almost seemed that God was not taking care of him, that God really wasn't with him. But God delivered David from those enemies and from physical death. And he used that event, and maybe several of those events of delivering him from death, he used that to bring David to see his goodness. Verse 7, David says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." God had delivered David from physical death, and he used that to remind David that he had been very good to David in so many ways, including in delivering him spiritually from sin. And that's why David says in verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" David even came to see that if he had died, God still would have been taking care of him. God was and is a good God. David came to see that his death was precious in God's sight. May we come to understand that today too, that the death of saints is precious in God's sight, and may we be comforted through the Word of God. Let's consider the text under the theme, Precious Death. Precious Death. First, the truth. Second, the reason. And third, the calling. Precious death. First, the truth. Death all by itself is not precious. Know three things about death. First, physical death is the separation of body and soul. Each of us has a body and a soul. The body is the physical part of you. It includes your bones, your organs, your flesh. Your soul is the part of you that's not physical, part of you that you cannot touch. It includes your mind and your will and your spiritual heart. Now, death is the separation of body and soul. And when that happens, the body stops functioning. Really, one's entire earthly existence completely ends when the body is separated from the soul. One no longer hears, tastes, touches, smells here on this earth. Everything that one has is taken away. He or she does not see us, and we don't see them. That earthly relationship is over. Physical death is the separation of body and soul. In the second place, physical death is part of God's punishment for sin. Romans 6 verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." That includes physical death. There was no physical death before Adam and Eve sinned. God, in physical death, is really saying that someone is unworthy to exist and to have a name and a place here on this earth. Unworthy to exist in this world. In the third place, physical death for us apart from Jesus Christ is a passageway to hell. And in hell, one suffers under the wrath of God for sin forever. It's eternal torment, never ends. That's what death is apart from Christ. Passageway to hell. Now, our loved ones die. Their soul is separated from their body. Their bodies do not function anymore. They don't see us and we don't see them. And we will die too someday if the Lord tarries. Our bodies will be separated from our soul. And we don't know exactly when that's going to be. By itself, that death is not precious. By itself, that means apart from Jesus Christ, the death of us and of our loved ones is not precious. It's not valuable to God. We are sinners. We are sent to hell at death without Christ. By itself, death is not precious or valuable to God. By itself, death is not precious to me. It's sad and it's difficult. The earthly relationship that you had with someone is over. Psalm 116 teaches, though, that the death of saints is precious to God. So death all by itself, not valuable, not precious. But the text says the death of saints is precious to God. Now, who are saints? That word saints in the text, it's a little bit different than the word for saints in many other passages of Scripture. Most of the time you read the word saint in Scripture, that word means holy one. But that's not really the meaning of the word. It's very close to that. That's not the exact meaning of the word here in this text. The word saint here in this text comes from a word in the original language that means faithful servant of God. Faithful servant of God. And the idea is that the saints are people who love God and serve Him. David even says he's a saint. David says in verse 1 of Psalm 116, "I love the Lord." That's what a saint does. Now, saints are those who are sorry for their sin and believe in the Messiah for all of their salvation. They love the Lord and serve the Lord as those who know Jesus. They know their sin and they know the Messiah. Knowing that, they love the Lord and serve Him in thankfulness. A saint is one who sorrows over sin, believes in the Messiah Jesus Christ, and loves the Lord, seeking to serve Him in thankfulness. That's a saint. Now understand that saints do not live as saints in their own power. Saints live as saints only because God chose them to be saints before the world began. And God redeemed them in Jesus Christ. And God gave to them the Holy Spirit who works in them to sorrow over sin, to believe in Jesus and serve the Lord. Praise be to God. He's sovereign. Now think of your believing loved ones that have died. Think of your believing loved ones that have died. They loved the Lord. They sorrowed over their sins and believed in Jesus Christ for their salvation, and they in their lives sought to serve the Lord. Maybe taught their children to love the Lord. Or if they died in their younger years, they loved the people of the church and sought to serve them. They loved the Word. They were in that Word. They were saints. And remember, that believing loved one was a saint only because God chose them, because God redeemed them in Jesus Christ, and because God gave to them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for His work. And saints are friends of Jehovah. Saints are friends of Jehovah. In verse 15, there's an important name of God given there. That name is, that you will read in your King James Version Bible, is Lord in all caps. And whenever you see the name Lord in all caps in the King James Version, that means that the name there in the original language is Jehovah. And like all of the other names of God in Scripture, the name Jehovah teaches us about God and who He is. And the name Jehovah especially emphasizes that God is the unchanging, faithful friend of His people. The unchanging, faithful friend of His people. That name Jehovah means I am. I am. He does not say that He is the I was, meaning that He had one attitude in the past and now He has a different attitude today. He's not the I will be, meaning that He has one attitude today and He'll have a different attitude in the future. He is the I am, the unchanging, faithful God. And that name, Jehovah, emphasizes He is the unchanging, faithful friend of His people. This is the name. Jehovah is the name that God used to reveal Himself to His friends in the Old Testament, the Israelites. Maybe you kids will remember that when Moses was by that burning bush, then God told him that it was now time for him to lead the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said, "But who should I tell them sent me?" And God answered, "Tell them the I am sent you." The I am. Tell them Jehovah sent you. And the idea was that Moses was to tell them that their faithful friend sent them. The one who cared for them, who would be with them as they journeyed from Egypt all the way to the land of Canaan through that desert. God would be with them. He was their friend. God is the unchanging, faithful friend of His chosen people. And His chosen people are the saints. He is the unchanging friend of the saints. And many passages in Scripture show that. For in many passages of Scripture, we read of other names for the saints that God gives to them, which show so clearly that He's their friend, their faithful friend. For instance, in Ephesians 1, God says about the saints that they are adopted children of Himself. Adopted children who He brought into His own family in love. And later on in Ephesians, God says that the saints are His bride, His spouse, whom He loves. The saints are the friends of Jehovah. In verse 15, our text says, the death of saints is precious in God's sight. The death of these friends of God is precious in God's sight. In God's sight refers to how He views something. Something that is precious is not something that He does not care about. Something that is precious is something that's valuable to Him, something that is important to Him, something that is wonderful to Him. And He says, the death of my saints is wonderful to me, valuable to me. And that makes sense when you think about other passages in Scripture. For instance, in Psalm 56, God says that He even keeps the tears of His saints in a bottle. If the tears of the saints are valuable to Him, then their death is certainly valuable to Him. Precious. But why? The reason. What's the reason? Why is the death of saints precious to God? Well, it is because at death, God brings the saints to dwell with Him forever in perfect friendship in heaven. Because at death, God brings the saints to live with Him in perfect friendship in heaven. That's why the death of saints is precious to God. Understand that death has been changed for the saints through Jesus Christ. Death is no longer a punishment for the believer for their sins because of the work of Jesus Christ. The sins of believers were put upon Jesus Christ. Jesus was punished with death as one who had those sins upon Himself. He suffered the wrath of God for those sins. And since Jesus suffered under the wrath of God for those sins, believers do not and they will not suffer under the wrath of God for their sins. Jesus suffered in their place, so they will not suffer under God's wrath for their sins in hell. They will not suffer under God's wrath for their sins during this life either. So that even if one has terrible cancer, and then when he recovers from that, maybe he gets a different kind of cancer and lives in pain for years and years. That's not the wrath of God coming upon him for his sins. Jesus suffered under the wrath of God in His place. Amazing. Wonderful. Because of Jesus' death, death is no longer a punishment for the believer for their sins. Death for the believer has now been changed. Question and answer 42 of the Heidelberg Catechism says that death serves to abolish the sin that is within us. God uses death to abolish or remove that sin within us. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Believers, we believers have the life of Jesus Christ within us, but we still have a sinful nature also within us, and we will have that sin in us throughout our entire life. And that's a struggle, a daily struggle that we go through. But at death, that sin is abolished within us. It's removed. God uses death to get rid of it. Praise God. And death is also a passageway to heaven for the believer. A passageway to heaven. So we heard before that death without Jesus Christ is a passageway to hell, the place of eternal torment. Now, since Jesus Christ was punished for our sins, death is not a punishment for sin, and it's not a passageway to hell for the believer. Instead, and kids listen close, death is a passageway to heaven. It's like a door to heaven. Remember that. When you think about death, it can sometimes be scary when you think about it. But remember that because of Jesus, it's a door to heaven. Amazing. Because Christ paid for my sins, because Christ paid for the sins of believers, God declares concerning believers, he says, righteous in Jesus Christ. And being righteous legally, we have the right to heaven, the right to that holy place, to live there and dwell there with God in perfection. And thus, Christ, by his work, has turned death into a doorway to heaven. And that's why Jesus could say to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 43. The day that the believer dies, he enters into heaven. Immediately enters through that doorway to glory, to perfection, because of Jesus. Now, the death of a saint is precious to God because at death, God brings the saints to that place where they live in perfect friendship with him. Jehovah chose to save a people to himself so that they might live in friendship with him. Jehovah did not choose to save a people to himself simply so that they might be forgiven, so that they might be delivered, or even so that they might enjoy heaven. Jehovah chose to save a people to himself so that they might live with him as his friends. That's why he did it. Remember that his name is Jehovah. That's his covenant name. That's the name used in the text. He's a covenant God, the covenant God of friendship. He chose to save a people to himself so that he might live in that covenant friendship with his people. God sent Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us, so that he might dwell in friendship with us. And he says in Exodus 6, verse 7 about Israel, his Old Testament friends, he says, "I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." He chose to save Israel so that he might dwell in friendship with them in the land of Canaan. And he chose to save a people to himself today so that they might live with him, so that he might speak to them in love and they might speak back to him in prayer and in song. God chose to save a people so that they might live with him in friendship. And the saints, do live in friendship with him today. We do. Jehovah has regenerated the saints. He has given the saints spiritual life. That's why we believe. That's why we want to be here tonight. The saints have the Holy Spirit living within them. And the heart of the Christian life is now friendship and fellowship with God. That's the heart of the Christian life. God speaks to the saints in a loving way. He's doing that tonight. And we speak back in praise. We speak back in prayer and in song. And the saint seeks to serve God and praise him in his whole life. So Jehovah lives with his people now. He even dwells within us. But understand that after death, we will live in perfect friendship with God. So now we have that friendship with God, but it's hindered by sin. God is always with us, his people on this earth. He says, "I will continually be with thee." So he's with us. This relationship is hindered by sin, though. God is not pleased with sin, and we so often do sin. Sometimes we even continue in sin for a time and we lose the sense of God's favor for a time. God still loves us. He never abandons us, but he does make us to feel far from him as we are walking in that unrepentant sin. That's what happened with David. He went for a whole year without confessing his sin against the sixth and seventh commandments after he had murdered Uriah and committed adultery with Bathsheba. That friendship he had with God was hindered by sin. And the same thing happens to us today. But when we die, think of this, when we die and go to heaven, there will be no more sin. And our relationship with God will not be hindered by sin ever again. Never again will we walk in sin and lose the sense of God's favor for a time. In heaven, we will have perfect friendship with God. There won't just be moments of experiencing his close presence, but we will experience that close presence all of the time. We will know Jesus Christ perfectly. We will hear God speak to us in love, and we will speak to him in perfect love back and perfectly love him in all of our work that we do there, in all of the jobs that we have in heaven. We will perfectly seek his glory. As it is now, we so often fall into sin, having that sinful nature, and seek the glory of self. But there, perfectly, we will seek his glory all of the time and enjoy his perfect, perfect friendship. Consider 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." So now we do see God. We see him through a glass darkly. We see him, we know him, but there's the hindrance of sin. So we know him through a glass darkly. But in heaven, we will see God face to face as we look at Jesus Christ. And we will enjoy that perfect friendship unhindered by sin. And now think of the truth. That's what our believing loved ones experience right now. No sin, no confusion, no pain, but perfect friendship with Jehovah as they perfectly serve him and praise him in all that they do. Wonderful. And that's why the death of the saints is valuable to God. His purpose is that we live with him in friendship. And at death, we will be brought to live with him in that perfect friendship in heaven, unhindered by sin, and his purpose will be fulfilled. And thus, the most beautiful shout that rings in glory is the shout of Revelation 21, verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." God clearly loves his people. The death of saints is precious to him. Our death, our own deaths are precious to him, for at death we are brought to live in that perfect friendship with him forever. Praise God. Now, the calling implied here in the text is to live as a saint. There's an implied calling. It is to live as a saint, repenting and believing in Jesus Christ for salvation and serving the Lord in thankfulness. The text says that the death of saints is precious in God's sight. Not everyone's death is precious in God's sight. That's a sobering thought. There are those who continue in unrepentant sin, who do not care about sin. They do not look to Jesus for their salvation. Their death is not precious in God's sight, and at death they are sent to hell. There are those who even confess that they are Christians, but their own lives contradict their confession. They talk about Jesus, but they really do not believe in him, and their lives show that as they show a total uncaring attitude towards sin and continue on in that unrepentant sin. Their death is not precious in God's eyes. Only the death of a saint is precious in God's sight. And the calling for us tonight is that we live as saints, repenting and believing in Christ and serving God. That's what David did. That's what our loved ones do by the power, or our loved ones in Christ do by the power of God. And may we do the same. May we live as saints. And if you do, recognize that it's only because God chose you in eternity. And God redeemed you in Jesus Christ and gave to you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's sovereign. And if you are a saint by the grace of God, understand that God estimates your death as precious also. What a wonderful thing. He estimates your death as precious also, for at death he will bring you to that perfect friendship with himself in heaven. Now, since God estimates the death of believers as precious, may we also estimate the death of saints, his saints, as precious. May our estimation of death be changed. What often happens is that we don't estimate death in the right way. May we see the truth tonight that the death of saints is precious in God's sight. And may our estimation of death be the same. It's precious. We might sorrow now in connection with the death of a loved one, a believing loved one. And maybe during this sermon, the memories of that loved one flooded back to you. We might sorrow even as we think about it, hard to even maybe hold back the tears. But remember that Jesus Christ is rejoicing in heaven. Tears are permitted. Tears are permitted over the death of a loved one in Jesus Christ. But may those tears always glisten in the light of faith and hope. For that loved one in Christ is in heaven, and Christ rejoices. That by the death of his saints, God takes his people to himself to love them and to cherish them forever. So see the death of saints as precious. See death as precious for your loved one in Christ. See your own death as a precious thing. For when you die, you will be brought to heaven and enjoy that perfect friendship. No sin, no sorrow, no sorrowing, no confusion, no pain. Perfect life with God. And it will actually be even better than what we could ever imagine. And that life in heaven is for your loved one in Jesus Christ now is even better than what you could ever imagine and what they could ever imagine, because all that we know is this earth where there's sin and where there's struggle. That's not the case in heaven. So say along with Paul tonight, say in your heart, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And when you think upon that, say to yourself too, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? What shall I render unto him who has been so good to me and is so good and will be so good to me forever? Let's praise him. Let's praise him forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we are amazed at thy goodness and thy mercy to us. We are sinners. Thou hast sent Jesus Christ to take away all of those sins and earn for us eternal life with thee in heaven. Thou hast earned, or Jesus Christ has earned for our believing loved ones, that eternal life with thee in heaven. What a marvel. We pray that we may give thee praise. We pray that we may give thee thanks. And may we live in the hope of heaven each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.